You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're talking about something that makes every student pilot's palms sweat just a little bit. The Checkride oral exam. Specifically the questions they always ask, and I mean always, because here's the thing. The oral exam is not a pop quiz. It's not designed to trick you. The Designated Pilot Examiner, or DPE, has a playbook. It's called the Airman Certification Standards, the ACS. And if you know what's in that playbook, you can walk in there with confidence instead of dread. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com, and hey, after today, you might be one step closer to earning that private pilot coin. All right, let's walk through this together. I'm going to give you the questions that come up on almost every single private pilot oral exam. Not trick questions, the real ones. The ones your DPE is practically required to ask because the ACS says so, number one. And this is always the opener. The DPE is going to look at you and say, tell me about your pilot certificates and documents. What do you need to act as pilot in command? This is the classic, and the answer lives in 14 CFR 61.3 and 61.23. You need your pilot certificate, a valid medical certificate or basic med, and a government-issued photo ID. But here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Don't just memorize the rule. Hand the examiner your actual documents. Show them your logbook with your endorsements. Be organized. That first impression sets the tone for the whole exam. And while we're on documents, they will absolutely ask about the aircraft too. What documents need to be in the airplane? You've probably heard the memory aid. Think of the word aero. That's airworthiness certificate. Registration, radio station license if you're flying internationally, operating limitations, which is usually the pilot's operating handbook, and weight and balance data. Know where each of those documents lives in your airplane. Don't just recite the acronym. Pull them out and show the examiner. Question number two. This one comes up every single time. What are the weather minimums for the airspace you'll be flying in today? The examiner is looking for you to know the difference between visual flight rules weather minimums in Class Golf airspace versus Class Echo versus Class Delta. And here's where students stumble. They memorize one set of numbers and apply it everywhere, but the minimums change. Below 10,000 feet in Class Golf during the day, you need 1 statute mile visibility and clear of clouds. But in Class Echo below 10,000, you need 3 statute miles visibility, 500 feet below clouds, 1,000 above, and 2,000 feet horizontally. Those numbers matter. Your DPE will ask, and they'll expect specifics. Here's a tip. When you study weather minimums, draw yourself a little airspace chart and fill in the numbers by hand. Something about writing them out makes them stick way better than just reading a table. Question number three. The examiner is going to point at the sectional chart and ask you about airspace. What kind of airspace is this? What do you need to enter it? What are the communication requirements? This is huge. Know your airspace shapes and colors on the sectional. That magenta shading around an airport? Class Echo surface area, blue, Class Delta. Know that Class Charlie and Class Bravo require specific communication or clearance before entry. Class Bravo, you need an explicit clearance. The controller has to say the words cleared into the Bravo. Class Charlie, you need to establish two-way radio communication, which means the controller has to read back your call sign, and please know what a mode C-veil is. That 30 nautical mile ring around Class Bravo airports where you need a transponder with altitude reporting, even if you're just flying through Class Echo or Golf underneath it. Question number four. Walk me through how you planned this cross-country flight. Your DPE is going to want to hear your process. How did you pick your route? How did you calculate your headings and ground speeds? What checkpoints did you choose and why? How did you figure out your fuel burn? The examiner is looking for a logical, organized thought process. Not perfection. They want to know you can plan a safe flight from start to finish. Know your true airspeed. Know how to apply wind correction. Know your fuel consumption numbers from the POH. And for the love of all things aviation, check your weight and balance. They will ask about weight and balance on every single check ride. Can you calculate it? Is the airplane within limits for today's flight? What happens if you add a passenger? Here's the thing. Most students can do the math. Where they get tripped up is when the examiner changes a variable. What if you add 50 pounds of baggage? What if you take full fuel? Be ready to recalculate. That's the real test. Question number five. And this one is a safety question at its core. The DPE will ask, what are your personal minimums? This is not a trick. There's no wrong answer, but there is a bad answer, and that's not having any. A student pilot should have personal minimums that are higher than the legal minimums. Maybe you're not comfortable flying in anything less than 5 miles visibility. Maybe your crosswind limit is 10 knots. Whatever your numbers are, have them. Own them. The examiner wants to see aeronautical decision-making. They want to know you think about risk before you fly, not during. Speaking of aeronautical decision-making, be ready to talk about the MSAFE checklist. illness, medication, stress, alcohol fatigue, eating, and be ready to talk about hazardous attitudes. The FAA lists 5: macho, anti-authority, invulnerability, resignation, and impulsivity. Know them and know the antidotes. This is straight out of the ACS under risk management. Now here are a few more that come up constantly and catch students off guard. What are the requirements for a flight review? That's in 14 CFR 61.56. 1 hour of ground, 1 hour of flight, every 24 calendar months. What about currency? When can you carry passengers? You need 3 takeoffs and landings in the preceding 90 days in the same category and class of aircraft. And if you want to carry passengers at night, those 3 takeoffs and landings need to be to a full stop and done at night. That's 14 CFR 61.57. The examiner might ask about special use airspace, what's a MOA, what's a restricted area, what's a TFR, and how do you check for them? Temporary flight restrictions are a big deal. Always check notices to air missions before every flight. The FAA takes TFR violations very seriously. And here's one more that almost always shows up. The examiner will ask about engine failures or emergency procedures, not in the air during the oral, but conceptually. What's your immediate action if the engine quits on takeoff? What about during cruise flight? Know your emergency checklists for your specific airplane. The examiner wants to hear that your first step is to fly the airplane, maintain best glide speed, then troubleshoot, then communicate. So let me give you the big picture takeaway here. The check ride oral is a conversation. A structured conversation, yes, but it's not an interrogation. Your DPE wants you to pass. They are rooting for you. They're checking that you meet the ACS standards, which means you can explain the concepts, apply them to real scenarios, and demonstrate good judgment. The students who struggle are the ones who memorized answers without understanding. The ones who do well are the ones who can think through a scenario and explain their reasoning. You don't have to be perfect. You have to be safe, knowledgeable, and thoughtful. So here's your homework. Get a copy of the Private Pilot ACS. Go through each area of operation. For every knowledge element, ask yourself, could I explain this to my DPE in plain English? If the answer is no, that's your study list for the week. You've got this. All right, that's our tip of the day. Today's content pulls from the Federal Aviation Administration's Airman Certification Standards, 14 CFR Part 61, and the Aeronautical Information Manual. We also reference concepts taught widely across the flight training community from organizations like the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, and their flight training resources. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who care about getting this stuff right. If you want more episodes or want to see what else we've got, head over to radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern, and I'll be here next time you need a study buddy. Go fly safe. Go fly smart, Radio Hangar. See you in the Pattern.